seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the book of Ruth, chapter 3 and verse 11. The book of Ruth, chapter 3 and verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. The book of Ruth, chapter 3, and really the clause in it which says, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. As you all know, that we had this before us on Lord's Day, and it has remained with me so much since. And I trust it is the Lord's message to bring before you again this evening. Now, first of all, dear Ruth, at this time, and many times prior to this and after this, was to come into places where she was in real need. But Boaz knew exactly what she required. And the heavenly Boaz knows within each of our hearts and in our pathways all that we require. And he has promised, and this has sort of been with me as well, to give it in that hour, the hour of real need. You know, so often we think we should have the Lord's particular help or deliverance prior to the hour of need, but he has promised to give it in that hour what his dear children need. And that 8th chapter of Matthew seemed to so rest upon me, because in it, and in many of the chapters before and afterwards, there were those that needed the Lord. And let us begin tonight by putting this question to each of our hearts. Do we truly need him? Are there those things deep in your heart you require of him? He has promised, hasn't he? I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. And the heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus, knows exactly those inmost needs of each of our hearts before we ask or before we think. Now I just want to notice a little of what we read together, because first of all in that chapter there was that leper that came to the Lord Jesus. He was full of leprosy. No man could deliver him from it. But the dear Redeemer knew what he required. And that was for the Lord to cleanse him from all that leprosy. And there may be one, you know, tonight that feels the leprosy within. The sin within your own heart. and you require him to remove that leprosy. You cannot remove it yourself, can you? It's like this leper. You know, no man could deliver him. They went from him for fear that the leprosy would spread to them. But, you see, the Lord Jesus knew exactly what he required. And he had power to heal the dear man. And the Lord granted it, didn't he? And we read what the Saviour did, and Jesus put forth his hand, that blessed hand of power, that hand that could heal the very worst of diseases, that hand that had all power to remove that leprosy. And he put forth his hand and touched him. Oh, think of it tonight, poor soul. Do you need a touch from the Lord? One of the hymn writers said, and the one touch will make thee whole. He just put forth his hand, the Saviour did, and touched him. And oh, may we know what it is to be touched by the Saviour. A touch of his love, a touch of his mercy, a touch of his compassion, a touch that melts the hardest heart, a touch that will remove all rebelliousness from us. And the Lord can do it in a moment. And we put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And what was the effect of it? And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Oh, it was. And oh, may there be those in this dark and solemn day that know that spiritually in their hearts the leprosy all removed. Then you can say, can't you, like the hymn writer did, I'm clean. Just God, I'm clean. And you know, those that had leprosy in that day when the Saviour touched him were classed as dirty characters because they were so contaminated by that leprosy. And that's just how the sinner feels within, isn't it? A sink of sin and unbelief, the filth within. But the Lord, you see, as he touched him, immediately that leprosy was cleansed. And, you know, it's a sacred feeling, isn't it, when we see that sin that plagues us all removed. I often quote it, but dear Joseph Hart's words are very precious. When his pardon is signed, and his peace is procured. And you see, when the Lord gave him that healing from that leprosy, he was clean completely, cleansed from it all. Not the shadow of a spot was found on him. And oh, may we know more and more of it in our hearts. And then the second case that required the Lord's appearing was the centurion whose servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. That dear man, you know, that servant had twofold affliction. We read here, and I've just hinted at it, he lieth sick of the palsy. That was the outward affliction that he was upon him. And there may be those of you that have those afflictions of body, and each of us have various afflictions, don't we? And the Lord knows how we need him, how we require him to send that healing. But you see, it was far deeper than just natural affliction. The sickness of the palsy, he was grievously tormented. And I just want to tarry a moment here, because so often the devil, you know, he knows all our weaknesses. And he knows when the Lord's dear people are weak, and he takes full advantage of it. And he will work on the sinner's heart and torment them sorely. So it wasn't just the palsy that troubled the dear man, that he required the Lord to come and heal him. He needed to be delivered from all the torments of Satan. And oh, how real the temptations are, aren't they? The onslaughts of the adversary. And as I said just now, he takes full advantage of all the weakness. And he knows just how to attack the real child of God. When you look at the case of Peter, if I may just go to that for a moment, when he denied his Lord and Master in that judgment hall. If ever there was a strong man in the things of God and in his determination for the truth, it was Peter. And he was so often the spokesman, wasn't he, for the dear disciples. A bold character. Not only naturally, but in the vital things of God, a holy boldness given to him. But dear Peter, just like you and just like me, he had his weak point. And Satan knew what it was, and he knew how to get Peter to fall. Oh, he did. And the Lord, you know, loved Peter. Oh, he did. That's why he said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. And you know, wheat, when it's sifted, is put, tossed around and goes through many sieves to be pure. Satan has his sieves. The Lord has his sieves. And Satan, you see, was permitted to go such lengths. And here with this dear centurion servant, he was grievously tormented. But going back just to Peter, you think how the Lord said to him, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And you see, Peter failed, but Peter's faith didn't fail, because it was founded in God. Oh, it was. But thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know, it's a wonderful word. The Lord was to assure Peter that he would be converted from it all, and he'd be able to declare the wonders God alone could do. And it was this Peter that was to preach so beautifully on the day of Pentecost, it was this Peter that was to preach Christ in the house of Cornelius. And yet he knew what it was like, this servant of the centurion, to be grievously tormented. The devil let loose. And really that was a proof that they both got a real religion. Oh, it was. Because Satan won't tempt his own. And I don't know why I name that tonight, but you see, there may be those of you that are sorely tempted. What does the hymn writer say? When Satan tempts thee to give up and call no more on Jesus' name, cast not away your little hope. Come hither and behold the Lamb. Beautiful words they are, aren't they? And the wonderful thing was here with this centurion, as he brings the case of his servant. How does the dear man come? He comes in faith, this centurion. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. And then this beautiful word, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. The dear centurion knew, you know, the Lord only had to speak the word. He was so unworthy the Lord should come under his roof, but speak the word. And do we not long tonight that the Lord would speak the word, that we might know that healing? And the Lord knows how much we need it. I will do unto thee all that thou requirest. And you look how the Lord did all what that leper required. The Lord knew exactly how to do for this dear servant of the centurion, and could heal him in a moment. And there may be those tonight that need that healing virtue. I love that word, and may the Holy Spirit apply it this evening. And the Lord knew that the children of Israel required it. And what was it? When they came to Marah. And you know, the waters of Marah were very bitter, weren't they? And the Lord told Moses to cast in the tree into the water, and the waters will be made sweet. And then what do we read? For I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, there are many of God's dear children that have had grievous afflictions of body, and even the doctors have said they could do no more for them. And yet the Lord has spoken to them those precious words, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And the Lord has fulfilled it. And the doctors are stunned, though I put that rightly, by the healing given. And it all came from heaven. I am the Lord, he says, that healeth thee. And he was to heal those in Moses' day among the children of Israel. And some of them been through some very bitter things, haven't they? But then we find the same dear Redeemer healing Peter's, his wife's mother. fellow who was sick of a fever. And there again he touched her. Now I think that's a beautiful word, where he touches his dear people. What are we saying? One touch from thee shall make thee whole. And the Lord knows this evening how you need the Lord to touch you. With maybe healing virtue, maybe pardoning love. It may be a restoring you from the backslidings or wanderings from the Lord. And here we read concerning Simon Peter's wife's mother this. And he touched her hand. And the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto him. Oh, she did. Such was his power, you see. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And there may be those of you tonight that require the Lord to cast the devils out, as we read further in the lesson. There were those that were possessed with devils. And we read that when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed them, all of them that were sick. And the Lord can do it today, poor soul. Oh, he can. Nothing is too hard for him. When Boaz spoke that word to Ruth, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Nothing was too hard for him to do for her. So great was his love to her. He would do everything that she required. Oh yes. And such is the love of the dear Redeemer, far greater love than that of Boaz to Ruth. He will do to thee all that thou requirest. Through the remainder of thy life, you think of it, and all that you may need, not only today. I said on Lord's Day, didn't I? This is a comprehensive word. And there may be those things that you've got this evening that are too hard for you, impossible for you, but they're not impossible for the heavenly Boaz. Oh no. And when he promises to do, he's so different, the Lord is, than us. We may promise this or promise that, and we either forget, or we haven't the means to do it, or circumstances change, or some affliction comes upon us, we cannot do it, we cannot fulfil what we promise, and we could list a whole catalogue of things, but not so with the Lord. What he says, he will fulfil, in every jot and tittle. Oh yes. Did he not say, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed? You know, if the Lord had changed, they would have been consumed, but he didn't, did he? But to come back to this word, I will do unto thee all that thou requirest. And then you think of the dear disciples in the ship. And there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, and he was asleep. They were in deep need, weren't they? They were fearing for their lives. Are those of you tossed around tonight? We may say like a cork in the ocean. You have a cork in the ocean, it's always tossing around, isn't it? And you know, really, there are many things that will toss the child of God around. The Satan, he will. There's a man, he will, or she will, toss you around. And then to come home closer, there's our own deceitful heart, isn't it? The unbelief that creeps in, and we're tossed around by unbelief, aren't we? And remember this, the dear disciples, they were real children of God. He had called them, he had chosen them, and yet they were tossed around. But not only this, they had the dear Redeemer with them. Oh, they did. He was asleep. It didn't trouble him, did it? But it troubled them. And you think that you may be in this evening as you were tossed around by troubles of soul or family or of circumstance, and they toss you around. They make you question whether you're real in anything. They toss you around and you begin to doubt and fear. And these dear disciples did. We read, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, and he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And there may be those of you tonight feeling that you're going to perish. In your trouble, in the temptations you're in, the hand of Satan, the hands of the sea, and you fear you're going to perish. And their prayer was good, wasn't it? Save us, we perish. You know, whenever I read this, Lord, save us, we perish, I often think of what the old Mr. Caudle used to say about well-prepared prayers. He said, you know, some of the best prayers in the Word of God are but a few words. And he said, Peter here and these dear disciples, they hadn't got time to reach for the prayer book, had they? That's what he said. They said, Lord, save us, we perish. He came right out of their heart, and the Lord knew what they required. Oh, he did. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And then he speaks to them. And he saith unto them, Thy, why are ye fearful? Why are ye fearful? Now, there may be those that tonight that are fearful. And when you're fearful, you require the Lord's help, don't you? I thought when I rose this morning with all what was before me, and I did, I felt fearful. But that text, you see, of the Lord's day carried me, really. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And he knows how we require his help. He knew how these disciples needed his help at this time of crisis. And it may be there are those of you this evening that require the Lord's particular help in a matter tonight. Why, the Lord's given me this word. And there may be those of you that are fearful. Why are ye fearful? How would you answer that tonight? Oh, ye of little faith, why are ye fearful? We are creatures of fear, aren't we? The hymn writer said, we drag along and fear where no fear is. And here were these dear disciples had seen so much of the wonders God alone could do, and yet now they're afraid and fearful. Why are ye fearful? And so often when you're fearful, you have to say to the Lord in answer to this question, Lord, thou knowest why I fear. And you have to say that, don't you, to the Lord, thou knowest why I fear. And the things that I fear so much. It may be the great fear of death. The great fear of eternity. The great fear that your sins are not forgiven. The great fear that you are deceived in everything. Why are ye fearful? Well, the Lord said, didn't he, through Boaz to Ruth, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And it's when we are like this, we need that fear not from the God of heaven. And what did he say to them, O ye of little faith? Then he arose. It was a time of real need, you see. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea. And there was a great calm. And how sweet that is when in our souls he gives that great calm. He does what you require and gives you quietness and calm. We think of the 107th Psalm. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them to their desired haven. They'd had the storms, they'd had the many things that tossed them round, but the Lord was to quiet them all and bring them safely home to land. And what was the sweet effect of this great calm? Well, we read, But the men marvelled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? He was in control of it all, you see. And you think of dear Ruth's life. The Lord was in control of everything when he brought her out of Moab. Oh, he was. And in those places we looked at on Lord's Day, of bringing her into the field of Boaz, and then into the threshing floor, but then to be his wife. You know, it's been sweet to me thinking on that this afternoon, after we came away from the funeral. One's thinking of the marriage, you see. And what does the hymn writer say? And this is what the real child of God requires, the Lord to make the marriage complete. You know, two that are really in love, in natural affection to each other, will long for the day of marriage because then they're one. And the real child of God requires the same. They long for the marriage to be complete. Can you say what the hymn writer did this evening? Or let me come low. Do we long to be able to say it? I'm married to the Lord the Lamb. Wonderful place, you know. The soul that's favoured with that can lay down and die. One with Jesus, by eternal union one, married to him. And nothing can separate that, you know. It's a blessed place. And oh, do we not long for it? And oh, may the Holy Spirit so come and in your providential pathway or in your soul, and how we need him to give us what we require, hourly help, hourly strength, hourly upholding, hourly grace, hourly wisdom, hourly gracious determination. We require it all from him, knowing. But in conclusion, I must leave it, but in conclusion, let me direct you to the dear Redeemer in it all. What did the Apostle Paul say? Whatever you may require tonight, it pleased the Father that in him, whether it's a word of confirmation, a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation, a word of guidance or direction, in him is all what you need. It pleased the Father that in him, in the dear Lord Jesus, there is a rich fullness. And that fullness is to never run dry. We sing in the hymn, don't we? A fullness resides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer our need. And whatever you may require tonight, as dear Ruth did, the Lord can grant it. She wasn't left wanting, was she? If ever there was a favoured soul, dear Ruth was. And the Lord was everything to her. He was the altogether lovely and the chiefest among 10,000. And the soul that's favoured to experience all that they require will know where to give the praise. Won't be anything they have done. You or I, it'll be all what the Lord has done. We sing, don't we? To God be the glory.